Chof Tes Tishri, 31st of October, Rabbi Moshe Akiva Brandeis, Noach's children, then and now.
Several years ago, I was out in Rav Malka, and there was a Yid, a Rav from Manchester called David Kestenbaum, was in attendance and he spoke. And he said that he was in the airport once and he met this fellow. Someone came over to him and he said, "I understand why there's anti-Semitism in the world." Why there's anti-Semitism in the world. So the fellow says he's not a Jewish person. And he tells him, the reason is because if you were to be stranded, if your plane landed in some random country, and you're stranded there, you'd make your way back home, even if you had no phone, no credit card, no cash, nothing. You'd have some connection, you'd know somebody who knows somebody who'd get you back to your hometown. However, if I get lost, if I'm stranded, that's it. That's where I'll remain. See, that's where the hatred comes from. That's what this fellow said. So he said it over to explain how Klal Yisrael, how so well connected. This fellow didn't realize that he was touching on to one of the core elements that are the makeup of a Yid, the DNA of a Yid. We read in Parashas Bereishis, when the Torah describes how the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Bereishis bara Elokim, at the beginning of time Hashem creates, and Rashi, one of the first Rashis on our Torah, tells us that Bereishis bara Rashis, the purpose of creation is for Rashis. What's Rashis? It says Rashi Bishvil HaTorah Shenikras Rashis Dargoy. The purpose of creation. There has to be, if there's a designer who designs something, there has to be a purpose. So the purpose is for the Torah, which is called Rashis, and for Klal Yisrael. And for the nation of Israel, who are also called Rashis, Rashis Tuvuasa. There is one version of Rashi that says it's for the tzaddikim who are called Rashis. However, today if you look in most chumashim, you'll find it Bishvil Yisroel. And even in the old versions it brings both Yisroel and tzaddikim, which means that it's not just for the tzaddikim. It's not just for the righteous ones. It's for all of people who are considered Klal Yisroel, which needs an explanation. It means all of Klal Yisroel are the purpose of creation. Furthermore, what's baffling really is if a designer designs something and he has an intention, he has a purpose why he designed that clothing, that article, that new invention. So it's one thing if he then uses it for that specific purpose. However, if the purpose of creation is for Klal Yisrael and Torah, then why this vast world, the globe, there's endless fish in the sea, the ocean is full of different species, there's the whole animal kingdom. And not only that, you've got the people. There are other nations. There are all the nations of the world. We have different mentalities, different countries, different nations, different peoples, who all are the makeup of the world as we know it. So is it Bishvil Klal Yisrael, Bishvil Torah? So we turn to the Derech Hashem, who tells us in Chilek Beis, Perek Dalet, he says a very interesting concept which gives us a new understanding of the purpose of creation and the purpose of man, really. And he says that all the way from the beginning, it's not the way we think it is, that Klal Yisrael were the chosen nation, Hashem always prepared the world for this nation that would come, and then these people took the Torah at Har Sinai, etc., etc. He's at the beginning of time, it was open for all to take. Any person could step forward and be the chosen person. And from him and his children and his grandchildren would be Klal Yisrael, would be the nation of Israel. It was open for all. Only three generations, it became narrowed down to specific people. As the generations moved on, and people, according to their behavior, were taken out of the game, so to speak, and were left with the survivors. You were left with those people who are righteous enough to have their children to be part of Klal Yisrael. And he says that Noach's children come to the parasha of Noach, and he has three sons, so all of them could theoretically choose to be the father of this nation. However, their behavior will determine which one of them it will be. And as the nations go on, it will be Avraham Avinu, then later it will be Yitzchak, and then later Yaakov. It will be narrowed down to Klal Yisrael, eventually at Har Sinai, accepting the Torah from Hashem. So in this week's parasha, we find Noach, and I think it's one of the titles of this week. Oh, here we go. New Beginnings we have here from Rabbi Aaron Hirsch. So he has, it's a very apt title for the time. The entire world has been destroyed. There's been a flood. And Noach has survived with his three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yafet. There are four men who exist on earth. That's it. The entire world has been destroyed, and they step off their ship onto dry land, and it's a new beginning. And very soon after, the Psukim tell us, after Shishi in this week's parasha, that Noach plants a kerem, he plants a vine. It grows, he drinks the wine, he becomes drunk, and he's lying in a situation which means that he needs to be covered. Cham walks in. He hears from Canaan, his son, how his father, Canaan's grandfather, is lying. And he behaves inappropriately. Along comes Shem, and he initiates covering his father. Yefes joins along. Now this story perhaps took 30 seconds. How long could it have taken? It's a short little episode. He was lying there, he needed to be covered. One made a mistake, the other one covered him, the other one helped him. But at that moment, history was determined till the end of time, literally. Because Noach then, when he finds out what happened, the Torah tells us, it's all psukim, the Torah tells us that Noach then gave each one his tafkid, his purpose, his role throughout history. He tells Shem, the Shechinah will be with you. He turns to Yefes and he says, Yafta lekim Yefes, you'll have a beautiful time. We'll see what that means. And then he turns to Cham, his Or Canaan. He curses out Cham's son Canaan, and that they should be Avodim. And he says it three times. Eved Avodim Yeh Le'achiv, he should be an Eved to Avodim. Vihi Canaan Eved Lomoy. And then once again, Vihi Canaan Eved Lomoy. Three times, he should be a slave to his brothers. So although I'm sure we all know that when somebody behaves in a certain way, it can have bigger ramifications than we expect. Actions can have reactions, results. But so epic. It's huge. It's a difference of generations. It's their role in history. Or Canaan should be an Eved to his brothers. So let's expand on this a little bit. Shem initiates covering his father. Noach didn't just see an action, which needs a reaction. Noach read into the DNA of his son Shem. He sees not every action, sometimes an action is a mistake. Sometimes an action is a slip of the mouth, a slip of the tongue, a slip of the mind, done without thought. Sometimes an action shows the person. Here, Noach translated the persona of his children. And when he looked at Shem, his son, and he saw that he is able to transcend his ego, he's able to go out of his Dalet Amos, he's able to see what another person feels, what another person needs. If his father's lying in such a situation, his first thoughts are, what would I want if I was in that situation? If I was my father, I would want to be covered. So he immediately initiates, we must cover father. Shem can be a leader. Shem has what it takes to be a leader. To be a beacon to the world. To be the trailblazers. And therefore he gives Shem that role through the generations. His children will have this DNA. It will be in their genes. To be leaders, to be a beacon of light, to set the example to others. And so that's what he says to Shem. It will be from your children. As the Derech Hashem puts it, it's now narrowed down to Shem. Now it's his children have to choose, and eventually it will come to Avram, as we said before. Then it will be Yitzchak, then Yaakov, etc. Then we come to Yefes. Yefes joined along. He helped along. He also carried the blanket. He also looked the other way. Torah tells it to us, it's all in the Psukim, to make sure he doesn't see his father in this state, covers him, and they turn out without saying a word. Yafdelikim le Yefes for that. What's this role? It says Rashi from the Targum, Yarchiv, to expand, to become vast. What's this bracha for Yefes? The one who joined into this virtuous act of shame, of covering his father. So Yefes says Noach to himself, you didn't initiate the action. You don't have the leadership. You don't have what it takes to be the example to the world. However, you joined in. Your cultures can expand, can take over the world, can be global. And if you look throughout history, I checked in Yosefon, where he writes, who at the beginning of Yosefon, he writes, which nations come from which sons of Noach. And these are the nations that come from Yefes. It's fascinating, watch this. Persia. Persia in the times of Achashverosh, Achashverosh ruled Mihoidu va'ad Kush. Chazal tell us, it's Ethiopia and India, not, although they're near each other, it doesn't mean next to each other, it means this way around the globe. He was Molach Bekipor, he was the king, he ruled over the entire globe, from India until Ethiopia. The entire globe was Achashverosh. Persia had a kingdom, was an empire that crossed the entire globe. Greece, till today, we have the effects of the culture of Greece. The Greek culture is still prevails around the Western world, the Western society today. The Olympics that remain from them, the bodybuilding, their culture, although perhaps not Shechina, that Shem was merited to, their culture was everlasting. It expanded. And Rabbi Victor Miller goes through each one to explain how they expanded through the generations. Rome, we all know the Empire of Rome. India had its time. Russia. These are the nations and many others that took over the globe, or at least their culture, affected large numbers of society, a large percentage of the globe. Cham is Egypt, Ethiopia. So although Mitzrayim had its time where we know all the nations were coming to take their money in the times of Yosef, so they were a wealthy country, nothing lasted. It wasn't a culture that spread. They weren't global. They were just wealthy. Ethiopia never left its mark on the world. So Cham never left its mark. Yefes either left its mark culturally or spread at its time of when it was an empire. So Noach's bracha or klala remained until the end of time. Shem has the Shechina, Klal Yisrael, Yefes, its nations that spread, and Cham, we don't really know of them. But nevertheless, we still have to explain, what's a klala? So Noach sees that he cannot be a leader, he sees that he cannot spread, it's not for him. But what is this klala that he should be an eved to his brothers? Surely Noach wasn't just angry with him and he just cursed him out. It's kind of his own, you know? What do we have from a klala? So he should be an eved. So first of all, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky tells us, don't say what some say, that the Torah here is telling you to be a racist. It should be racism. He says, you could translate this as Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky as racism. He should be he's the inferior race. He has to be enslaved by his brothers, Shem and Yefes, for misbehavior. Until the end of time. He says, don't be mistaken. And he has a riot that deters against racism. So brings Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Lamed Aleph. Why was Adam created a single man? He was Nivra Yechidi. He was a single person. There was no other man in the world. The animal kingdom wasn't created each one. The world was spread with animals. The animal kingdom, elephants didn't go by ship, right? From Gan Eden. They were all over the world from the first day they were created. Adam was on his own. Says the Gemara, why? Because shelo yomar adam lechaveri, man should not say to his friend, Abba gadol mevicha, my daddy's better than yours. Gemara, Sanhedrin amezayin amedas. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Gemara is telling us that so that people shouldn't say, my race, my family, my father, where I come from, is superior to yours. Adam was created. Oh, we all come from the same person. You cannot say your race is superior because we all come from the same man if you go back far enough. So he says, the Gemara tells us that the Torah specifically is against racism. That's his Makai from the Gemara. That's why man was created single. So Ibar Zoi, what's Noach doing? Turning it back on its head. All onshim in the Torah, when there's a punishment in Torah, it's got to be with a te'eles. It's got to be that we're going to learn something from it. Either kapara, either it will be an atonement, or it will be an example for others. Says the Chassam Sofer, an Eved Kenani, that's Kenan, the son of Cham. What happens? What's the din? What's the halacha? An Eved becomes an Eved Kenani for a Yid. He now has halachas. What are those halachas? Like a Isha. He becomes half Jewish. Correct? Halachas like a Isha. He becomes half Jewish. What happens when you mishachra him? When you free this Eved? What's the din? The full Jew. He becomes fully Jewish like every other Yid, and he wakes up in the morning, he says, Shelo yosani oved, Shelo yosani goy, Shelo yosani isha. I don't know if he says Shosani kritzoyne whilst he's in Eved Kenani, but he says much. But he is a full-fledged Jew, with all the halachas and all the ramifications of being Jewish, which means that the Eved process is that he's changing from being the Eved mode, the DNA of an Eved. He's learning, perhaps by osmosis, on living with the Jewish family for a lengthy period of time. You're an Eved. You go to the master. He doesn't enslave you. He's not whipping you over the back. There's halachas on how you treat an Eved Kenani in a beautiful way. And then, by osmosis, by learning from the Jewish family he's living with, slowly but surely, first with the mitzvahs of an Isha, and then when he's finally free, he's a Yid. That's his tikkun. So Chum just needs a purification process, that's all. And it's not racism, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, because anybody can join. Racism is if I'm superior to you, this is my race, this is your race, and that's it. I am superior to you. But if you could join and also then say, Asher bachar bonim mikol ha'amim, I am also from the chosen nation, and Ger says the same bracha in the morning, then we're open for people to join us. Racism is, I am different to you, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's your DNA. You are inferior, and that's it. Here, no. Since our forefathers chose a virtuous path, since they had great midos, Noach saw their DNA, and gave them their roles through history accordingly, and therefore, their children are now the example to the world. If you want to join and also be an example, B'chol of Gadol, come join us, it's not a problem. I was once eating shalashuddas with Reb Yitzchak Shvadron, and the only son of Reb Shalom Shvadron. And he told us the following story that happened to him himself. As a bar mitzvah boy, he came into the, it was a few weeks to his bar mitzvah, he came into the sukkah of Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer, a gadol in Yerushalayim. And Reb Shalom, his father, famed Magid, walks in with Yitzchak, his little boy, who's almost bar mitzvah, and he sits there. It was a full oilam. There were many people visiting Reb Issa Zalman on Chol HaMoed Sukkos in his sukkah. And Reb Issa Zalman knows it's weeks to the bar mitzvah of this boy, so he tells him, perhaps you could tell me your drosha, the speech you're giving at your bar mitzvah, since I won't be able to attend personally. So Yitzchak, with all full gusto, he starts off his bar mitzvah drosha, and everyone's listening. And as he nears a part where Reb Sholem, his father, had prepared for him, a shtickel on the Evan Ha'ozel. The Evan Ha'ozel is written by Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer. And Reb Sholem took it apart and then said his own idea of how you could answer this question differently. So Reb Sholem started getting nervous when he got to that piece. He starts pressing his little boy on his foot. But the boy doesn't understand. He starts getting more into it. And Reb Sholem had this wonderful way of speaking. He had a very flowery speech. So he says, and he gets to the point, he says, Kumto is hafli vofele pili ploim of the Evan Ozel. Comes, in other words, he's throwing the Evan Ozel out of the window. It's completely wrong. We cannot understand it this way. And therefore, I have another pshat. And everyone in the room is cringing. In front of Reb Issa Zalman himself. But Reb Issa Zalman, everyone turns to Reb Issa Zalman, he's still smiling, he's still listening. And when he finishes, and Reb Sholem's wondering how Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer will react, Reb Issa Zalman says, very nice, got a good point. So he takes it seriously. Reb Issa Zalman says that he had a good cash on his pshat, and therefore he had a different idea to explain it. Wonderful. Okay, so at least I was right. At least it made sense. A few weeks later, Reb Sholem's back at his farm in his study, and he's learning through that shtickel of Reb Issa Zalman. And he sees that a few pages later, Reb Issa Zalman deals with that very problem and answers it in his own way. So at the first opportunity, he runs to Reb Issa Zalman. He says, why do you do this? He says, in your own sefer, you deal with this problem. Why do you tell me at the time? So Reb Issa Zalman says, I don't understand you. He says, your boy was weeks since Bar Mitzvah. He's gone over and over and over this drasha again. He knows it verbatim, he knows it word for word. If I would have told you that you're mistaken, you would have to change the drasha for the boy. So how could I tell you that you're wrong? And the boys have to relearn his drasha. That's the koyach of shame. To be able to think about the situation of another human being. That's leadership. That's in our DNA. That's what Noach saw in shame and decided that he should be the trailblazer of the chosen nation. Anyone can join, but shame is the trailblazer. I looked in the phone book here in London. I counted 177 gemachim. Anything from arbus for a shalom zocher to people setting up your kiddush, anything, to dummies. And that was a 2014 edition. There's probably a few more. My mother-in-law's bridesmaid gemach wasn't in there. So there's probably a few more since. Klal Yisrael, think about each other. We are a community around the world. That's shame's DNA. That's the DNA of Klal Yisrael. So from shame, who Noach saw this in his behavior, comes Avram Avinu, who totally is mevatel himself. He totally dissolves his ego for the Ribbono Shel Olam. His father has a supermarket of Avodah Zarah. There's a huge supermarket of Avodah Zarah. Everybody comes to Terach. And his little boy, who's decided that there's a God in the world, smashes them all up. There is no religion that he's even joining. There's nowhere for him to run. He does this for the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Which means he's mevatel himself, he totally dissolves his ego, his self doesn't exist, for the sake of the truth. This is the highest level of bittul, the highest level of dissolving one's ego for the sake of another. Because if one is able to do it for another person, ultimately one does it for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then comes Yitzchak. Now it's a choice, as the Derech Hashem says, between Yitzchak and Esau. However, Yitzchak behaves as he does, Esau behaves as he does, he chooses that way, so it's going to be Yitzchak. Yitzchak also shows us his unbelievable way of sacrificing himself with Akedas Yitzchak. Then comes Yaakov. Yaakov has to go to the house of Lavan. Why is he going to Lavan to find a shidduch? Because his mother said in Ruach HaKodesh, that's the place to find a shidduch, at Lavan's home. Now his father-in-law Lavan, his potential father-in-law gives him a kiss, trying to feel if he has some diamonds between his teeth. I don't know about you, but I haven't given up at that point. He goes on and he goes to his home and he continues with a swindler who tells him, you've got to work 7 years to marry my daughter. The Shidduch crisis was different in those days, apparently. He had to work 7 years for his daughter. And not only after 7 years of work, 7 years of being a shepherd, he gives him the wrong one. He has to work for another 7 years for the one that he originally wanted then. All why? Because his mother said, go to the house of Lavan, Baruch HaKodesh, and marry one of his daughters. So he'll do that at whatever cost. That's the DNA of shame, being able to dissolve his own interests in an unbelievable fashion for the sake of another. I'm going to share with you an unbelievable story about a simple girl. Talk about Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Talking about shame, Rabbi Sazama Meltzer. But this is, I'm calling her simple girl. No good is simple. But she's not world famous. This is not a Sora Schneer story or a Rabbi Sazama story. A girl who, one supper time, her father was trying to convince her to eat oatmeal that her mother had prepared for supper because her mother became a health freak recently and that's all she would serve. And she's a teenager, she wants supper. And she says, Daddy, I'm not eating this stuff. I'll skip supper tonight, it's fine. Till Mommy gets past this stage, this phase. And he says, please do it, you can't do this. And she says, you know what, let's make a deal. There's something that I want from you, Daddy. If you agree to mine, what I want, I'll eat supper. His father said, listen, you're usually quite a reasonable, sensible young lady. Fine. So they say, I could go in America. If you ask for something, I'm sure it's a reasonable request. We have a deal. She eats the supper. Then her father's curious and he says, what is it you want? She says, I want a haircut. So he says, for that you needed to have a deal for a haircut? She says, you don't know what haircut I want to take. I want to shave my head. He says, you can't do this. He says, you're going to school tomorrow. She says, we had a deal. You're reasonable. A deal's a deal. I did my part. You agreed. He tries to talk sense to her. He doesn't know what's come over her. She says she's shaving her head. And she goes upstairs, she takes a razor and shaves her head. He can't work out what's going on. The next morning, he takes her to school in the car. And he tries to convince her, perhaps you want to wear a bandana, a cap, something. I'm fine. He can't work her out. And he's taking her to school, and she gets out of the car, waves goodbye, totally composed, and she's walking towards the school building. She just can't work anything out. He drives home, and the phone's ringing. Ringing and ringing and ringing. He picks up the phone, and there's someone on the phone who can hardly talk. There's a woman on the phone. She says to him, you don't know me, but I have a daughter. I have a daughter who was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago. And after all the therapy, chemotherapy, radiation, she lost her hair. And it was hard enough to go back to school, but children being children, she went back to school and they were teasing her a little bit. She said she's never going back to school. And it's been 4 weeks she's not stepped into the school. And it's the only island of peace, of normalcy that she has in her life. But we can't convince her, we understand her. Last night, a phone call came to the house. And your daughter called my daughter. And she said, Chevy, tomorrow you're coming to school. She said, I'm not stepping back into school. She says, no, you don't understand. But there's two of us now. Mm-hmm. I've just shaved my head. Now there's two of us, you can come back to school. And today, for the first time in weeks, my daughter went to school. That's the power of shame. That's the DNA of Klal Yisrael. Starting from shame, when Noach sees in him the ability to step out of his own space and see another person's feelings. She says, you are to be the leader. And from him comes Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah, and throughout the generations, and Am, ourselves, who have this DNA of being leaders in feeling for others. Okay.
Yeah.